How's it going, guys? This is Scott McKay from XY Communications, and you're about to get to go nuts all over episode number 47 of the Chick Whisperer show, but I did want to give you a little heads up before we started. The sound quality on this one might not be what you're used to because we had to do this one over a phone line since my guest today is one of the busiest guys I know. He was on his way to go ring out some exotic car to racetrack even as he was co-hosting the show with me. But I give you my full assurance that even though the sound quality isn't quite there on this one, the content is. Oh yeah, it is. This is a great show. You guys are really going to enjoy it. So here we go. Episode number 47 of The Chick Whisperer.
You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
What do you say, gentlemen? This is Scott McKay from XY Communications back at you again with episode number 47 of the world-famous Chick Whisperer show. Well, listen here, guys. Here's the deal. I gave you a recent survey, and I asked about having some co-hosts for this show who weren't necessarily dating gurus and pickup artists per se, but experts on other guy stuff. And you know what? You guys pretty much overwhelmingly said go for it. So here you go, man. I'm hitting the ground running with a great guy topic. And that's cars. And listen, I've got probably about the best guest you guys could hope for today. His name is Matt Farah. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Matt. In the past, you know, I've written about how, you know, maybe the only guy on earth who I think might have as cool a job as me and maybe might trade jobs with would be Jeremy Clarkson from the wildly popular UK show Top Gear. Well, yes, this guy, Matt, may be the only dude here in the States who comes close to living that dream day to day. Matt, welcome to the Chick Whisperer. I'm glad you're here today.
That was a solid intro, Scott. Thanks.
Well, you know, we don't do soft intros here. It's solid or we go home.
But if I'm the highlight of your listeners' experience, I'm sorry for your listeners.
Well, I'll cover up for you on that, man. I got your back.
All right.
Well, listen, man, you know what? I think you're full of it because I've seen the smokingtire.com and I've seen the car show on Speed Channel, which, by the way, gentlemen, comes on Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. So, man, it's 10 o'clock slot wherever you are, which is pretty sweet. I've seen the show and, you know, in my mind, your input is pretty much the best because it seems like you are probably the most down-to-earth guy on the show and probably the guy who's most into cars on the show. I mean, I think, you know, Adam Carolla's got a garage full of goodies, but, you know, I like your input, man. I like your style, so I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. I mean, as I'm sure you're well aware, like, there's a huge benefit to starting your career on the internet where you're used to not needing a filter. You know what I mean? Like, on the internet, on the smoking tire, like, there's no FCC, there's no network executive in a suit that says you can and can't do something. So having that kind of freedom and having really no filter works well together.
Yep. Hey, man, we've been living that for years around here, and we know it.
Yeah. Can you curse on this show, or are you a G-rated show?
We're not G-rated. I mean, I wouldn't drop F-bombs just for the sake of doing it. But, yeah, man, be yourself. Don't worry.
I have a filthy mouth. You never know it by watching Speed, but I'm just a filthy animal.
Well, you know, one of my other favorite shows on cable is actually Eastbound and Down. So, you know.
Oh, dude, you know what? My friend, Fireball Tim Lawrence, who does a podcast called The Hollywood Garage, he builds movie cars and stuff.
Right.
And in his warehouse, he's got a bunch of really cool stuff. But one of the things he has is Kenny Powers jet ski.
Oh, wow.
And
you got it.
I really, really want to do for the Smoking Tire a full costume, full character review of Kenny Powers jet ski.
That would be brilliant.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. So Kenny Powers, I get the hugest kick out of Kenny Powers. I mean, he just absolutely personifies what every guy shouldn't be if they're like reading my newsletters and listening to these podcasts. It's just like, here's what not to do, gentlemen. I mean, you know, season one, Katie Mixon is a hottie. Okay. I don't know what the hell her problem is, low self-esteem or whatever, but I promise you guys in real life, it's only going to go so far for you guys with high quality women. If you're Kenny effing Powers, you know, and you're giving STD talks like you did on that second show. I mean, it's just hilarious. Ten effing.
Yeah, I've definitely said some really bad things in front of girls that have just bombed so hard. And I don't know, you ever listen to like Opie and Anthony and Jim Norton stand up?
Sure. Yep.
Jim Norton either made my life what it is or ruined it, and I think it's a combination of both, because I used to have, like, really low self-esteem in college and stuff, and I was, like, really fat. I mean, I'm still really fat, but I was even fatter, and I used to have no self-esteem at all. And I started listening to Opie and Anthony on the radio and Jim Norton, and people would laugh at Jim Norton, and he would say just the most disgusting things. And I was like, you know what? If he can say that and it's somehow societally acceptable, then so can I. And I just started having no filter. And on the one hand, you know, it made half the girls I talked to think I was a disgusting animal. The other half thought I was hilarious and wanted to hang out with me. And it's sort of the just kind of laughing off all the reactions you get sort of gave me the confidence to be able to talk about things on camera without a filter. And just, I've always said, like, I exist only to entertain myself. And if you're also entertained by me, then that's awesome. And if not, I don't really care. And that works with cars as well as women, actually.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, there's sort of an odd masculine charm that ignites femininity to a guy who just doesn't really care. He's so confident about who he is and how he's presenting himself that he openly just throws it out there and says, look, if you're not on board with this, sorry about that. Can't help you. You're lost. And
I mean,
women will take
it. You're totally right. That works really well. Like I'm not like Mr., you know, pickup artist or anything. I mean, for a fat, bald guy who's on deep cable, I do okay. But the best success I've had is really just throwing caution to the wind and being totally willing to make a total fool of myself. And that always works a lot better than trying to be really nice right off the bat. I find, you know what I mean, I find that you have to kind of go a little over the top with it.
Yep, well, you couldn't be more correct. I tell you what, Matt, I want to jump into the car stuff because, man, this is your area expertise, and I've got some great discussion here for you, ready to go. I want to start off with a voicemail from Leonardo in Miami, Florida, and here's what Leonardo has to say.
Hey, Scott. This is Leonardo from Miami, Florida, and I have a question for you. What would be a typical car that will receive plenty of compliments from females without coming off as too pretentious, you know? I'm not trying to be the type of guy with a Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, or even a Bugatti that's trying to get everybody's attention, you know, especially women's attention. Thank you.
All right, well, Matt, you know, he doesn't want a Ferrari. He doesn't want a Lamborghini. He doesn't even want a Bugatti Veyron, which, you know, is beyond my comprehension. But, you know, in all seriousness, he's got a great question. What are some car choices that a guy who maybe, you know, makes a regular income but isn't just ridiculously wealthy could go for and have women appreciate the car without him coming off as some kind of pretentious pretty boy? Give me your take on that, man. I want to hear what you have to say first.
There are a couple options here. My go-to for a guy who's a car guy who wants the performance, wants something fun to drive, but also wants women to look at him as someone who likes cars but isn't like an arrogant kind of show-off, the Mini Cooper S, specifically the John Cooper Works version. I just had one as a press car, the new one. In fact, I owned a Mini Cooper for 3 years as my daily driver. I have never had in my whole life women react so positively towards a car. And it, especially if you're a bigger guy like I am, like, Mini Coopers have a deceptively large amount of room, and guys who are car guys know what kind of performance that car actually has, and girls still think it's cute, and girls would think it was really cute that someone that was my size would drive such a small car. And I've owned a lot of different cars. I mean, I've owned everything from that Mini. I had a Hummer H1. I'm driving a bright orange Ford Raptor right now. I have a red Corvette. I mean, I've owned some of the most obnoxious vehicles on the planet, and none of the obnoxious vehicles ever got me laid. The Mini did.
Unbelievable. You know, I thought your answer was a little surprising at first, but it took me exactly about two and exactly about what the hell does that mean? It took me two seconds to have that land in my brain and go, brilliant, because women will look at that car and they're going to want to ride in it because it is a very charming looking little car. Women will say, oh, how cute it is, but it is not a girl car.
A base Mini Cooper convertible automatic in pale yellow is a girl car.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like a gray and black or a red John Cooper Works, you know, in stick, you know, with a carbon fiber dash, like that's a proper driver's car.
Right.
And anyone who knows anything about cars or driving or racing will agree. I know more guys who drive Ferraris on the weekends and drive a Mini Cooper to work every day.
Well,
I mean,
like
I know at least five or six of these guys. Oh, that's amazing. I mean, it is not obnoxious at all, not pretentious at all. In fact, I would say it's a little bit modest even, you know. And I find that most people who drive Minis could afford a much more expensive car if they wanted to, and girls know that.
Well, you know what the beauty of a Mini is, too? They've been around now for, what, 7 or 8 years? You can get a used one, and it's the same exact friggin' body style as the brand new one. A woman won't even know the difference.
You know, I got to tell you, Scott, I have a problem with the know the difference thing, because I don't ever like to start off any kind of relationship with a woman based on a lie or her not knowing the difference. You know what I mean? I feel like it's like wearing a fake Rolex. Like, there's no shame in buying a five-year-old Mini. There really isn't.
No.
If that's what you want, but it's not, I just don't like to do the they won't know the difference argument, even though I agree with your point.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying tell her it's a 2012 version and
it's actually a 2005,
but I'm just saying a woman will probably never ask. She'll go, oh, this is one of those cute little Minis. Let's go for a ride.
Right.
She doesn't know that you paid $5,800 for it instead of $23,000, basically.
Right, and I mean, plus they feel inside, you know, somewhat luxurious. They've got BMW build quality.
That's right.
Have, the leather's nice. And so, you know, it's a place that a classy girl wouldn't mind, you know, spending time.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, a lot of guys don't know they're actually BMWs. They're built by Beamer. I tell you what, let me go ahead and give Leonardo his prize because I want to do that. And then we're going to go right off of that same topic because I got another couple of places we can go with that. Leonardo, man, here's what I'm going to do for you, okay? Obviously, Matt doesn't have pickup products. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a nice minty fresh copy of The Difference. And I know you from Facebook, and I know this is something that you're really, really going to enjoy, Leonardo. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you that right away. I've got your email address. And enjoy. And guys, if you want to get your hands on The Difference, here's what you want to do. You want to go to www.thedifferenceinfo.com and get you some. I'm still running a half-price offer on that right now. It is a jam-packed program. It's already getting results for guys all over the world who are saying, you know what, daggone, dude, this does give me an edge over other guys. So get you some and enjoy. And also, if you want to leave a voicemail message for this show like Leonardo did and have some TV guy like Matt Farah answer it, maybe go for it, man. And here's the number you're going to want to call. It's in the 210, so it's 210-362-4400. Once again, 210 plus one, by the way, if you're outside the continental U.S. or Alaska, Hawaii, you can call it too, plus 210-362-4400. When you call, be sure to leave a very concise question that guys can all relate to and give me your first and last name and your email address so I can get that prize to you. Now, Matt, you know what? I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about. You mentioned something that was absolutely key. We were talking about how the same exact car, you know, make or model, Mini Cooper, can be either a man's car par excellence, you know, or a total chick mobile, like something that everybody would look at you and think you ripped it off from your sister for the afternoon. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What are some ways to define a girl car that a guy would want to stay away from driving? I'm thinking maybe anything that's front wheel drive that's supposed to look sporty, but is absolutely gutless when you like stand on the gas, like one of those old Geo Storms, for example, would be a girl car. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you see girls tend to choose the same kind of stuff. So like old Jettas and a Geostorm, that's like old. If there's even a Geostorm left running,
right,
just take it to Lemons immediately.
Just get rid of it. Even women should get rid of it.
But I would say a lot of it has to do with colors and option packages. Like a pale colored car with a low option pack and an automatic transmission, that's a girl car. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you could have the same car in black or gray, loaded up with options and stick, you know, with some nice lightweight track wheels on it and stuff, and that's a guy's car.
Right.
So it also depends on how it drives. Traditionally, girl cars, with the exception of the Mini and the Miata, don't drive well because traditionally girls don't care about driving. Now, I know that's not 100% true, but, you know, a guy knows what a masculine car is. It's just, it's easy to pick out a masculine car. It's hard to avoid the trap of going too masculine unless that's really what you're going for.
Right. Agreed. I mean, a Mitsubishi Eclipse, for example, another car that's been out of production for a while, they used to have a baseline model that had like steel wheels and a four-cylinder four-popper in it and automatic transmission and ugly colors, and those were girl cars. But the top-line version was definitely a guy car.
You want to hear something really funny, Scott? You just said car that's been out of production for a while.
Yeah.
That car is still in production through the 2011 model year.
Really? An Eclipse?
That's how bad the Mitsubishi Eclipse has become, is that you don't even know they're still building them. That car was so awesome in, like, 1998 when you could get all-wheel drive and a turbo, and now it's just a gutless pile of crap that you don't even know exists anymore. Whereas if they just put the Evo drivetrain in that, the all-wheel drive and the turbocharger, you'd have a totally legitimate sports car on your hands.
Well, the Evo
is. And they wouldn't have to engineer anything.
Yeah.
So Mitsubishi sucks right now. They're going in the toilet fast.
You know, they have laid an egg. I haven't seen a new Mitsubishi on the street. Their pickup trucks got hit with an ugly stick. Jeez. And, man, I don't know. I mean, an Evo, you know, you brought up the Evo. I would take the Evo and the Subaru WRX, maybe even the STI, and I would throw them in with the Mini Cooper as the cars that women think are kind of cute, but underneath the hood they got something, and they're a guy car. I think we could throw those in that mix, too.
I'm going to have to go and disagree with you there, Scott. I think that women do not find relatively cheap cars with big wings and loud exhausts to be cute. Like, Evos and STIs are fun on the highway and great on a racetrack, but that's kind of all they're good for. I mean, if a girl gets into an Evo and she isn't into cars, she doesn't know that that thing can pull a lateral G, or that it can do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. All she knows is that she's sitting in a tin can that's made by the same company that makes the TV in her dad's house.
Wow. Yeah, it may be a
regional thing,
too. Because I'm feeling
it. Most girls know that a Mini is made by BMW.
And I'm feeling you, because, you know, if you take, like, a Honda Civic and you put wings on it and lights underneath it, that does turn women off. Women roll their eyes at that.
Look, unless you like Asian girls.
Well, I mean, women kind of see that as a macho thing, not a masculine thing. And macho isn't necessarily what ignites femininity. So I can see your point. I guess maybe I've just met a few girls who actually like that car. I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and disclose what I used to drive when I was single. I used to drive an Audi S4. And
okay, what year?
Well, I've had a 99 and I had an 04. And,
okay, which one did you like better?
Oh, the 04 was hands down a better car.
Yeah, I like the V5s. I like that turbo engine, but those things had pretty scary handling characteristics. I had an 06, and it was a much, much better car.
Yeah, well, the newer version was better. I don't like the brand new one. I just can't get used to the looks. But here's why I thought that car was particularly good for women. Now, again, it was a rather expensive car. I was making good money at that point. You can get a used one now, and Audis just don't hold their value like other cars do.
So
you could probably get a good one in good shape and not pay a whole lot for it. But Audis are nice cars with nice interiors that run like that STI or that Evo, and women feel comfortable. They have, like, the creature comforts inside, so women kind of get all cozy and start purring on you when they sit down in there. And yet it's a guy car, and they know that. But it's also made by a reputable company, and it says that you have a certain style and panache and probably make some income, but you're not showing it off. It's not like an M3.
Yeah.
It's a sleeper, as it were, but women know it's a nice car, and they know it's a guy car. That probably was the quintessentially perfect date car or a car for pulling women. And you know what? Here's a hidden reason why I thought it was good, and I want to hear your input on this. It had room for 4 or 5 people instead of just 2. Show me a guy who thinks a 2-seater car is a chick magnet, and I'll show you a guy who doesn't know the meaning of piling 3 or 4 women into the car with him.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you. There is something to be said for utility, and that's why I have 2 cars. a two-seater, and a big-ass pickup truck.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a motorcycle with a solo seat. Like, you know, the old RC30 Honda was great, but you can't put a woman on it. You can buy...
That is completely true.
You can actually get a GSXR for two, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have found, if you want to talk about a way to do something that's fun for a guy, but that will really impress a girl, there's not many things that work better than, why don't we jump on the motorcycle and head to Santa Barbara for the weekend?
Absolutely.
That is really a money, money move. And for that, you need a comfortable two-seater bike. I recommend the BMW GS series.
Oh, yeah.
Adventure tour.
Like a, yeah, an adventure tour or a sport tour for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, while we're on the subject of bikes, which I won't stay on very long, but I'm a bike guy as well as a car guy, I just want to make it clear to you guys, you're going to get completely different women if you ride around on a Harley versus riding around on a sport bike, like a Ducati or a CBR Honda or a GSXR. Because the women who like sport bikes, to me, tend to be the aerobics instructors. They tend to be the women with lots of energy, the giggly type of girls. And the Harley girl tends to be a little different. So just watch out for that and make sure you know what you're buying into as far as women are concerned when you go for your style, be it sport bike or Harley. Because I know very few guys who are both types. They can get off the Harley and get on the sport bike, riding a Buell notwithstanding. But just wanted to throw that out there for you guys.
Scott, do you think that the best women, though, like British bikes and cafe racers?
You know, that's a good question because I've never really put that one to the test. I mean, Triumph makes some nice bikes, but I know the difference between the Harley and the sport bike women, and I've always favored the sport bike cuties. They're just, wow, they're tigers.
I remember I had a friend in college, and now I've owned motorcycles, and I've ridden lots of motorcycles, and I've had friends who had lots of motorcycles. Nobody's motorcycle got more attention from the girls than this guy I went to college with who rode a Triumph Bonneville.
Wow.
Something
sweet
about that bike, I mean, you have never seen girls so happy to be on the motorcycle. Now, it could have been also because he was good looking and wore leathers well, and maybe I'm not, but that bike really, really, the girls really responded to it because it had that vintage British look, which I think really, really works.
It was something different. It had a panache, had a class to it.
Yeah, I think it really, those things had a style that the girls really were into.
Yeah. Back to cars, man. I have a few other questions for you here on cars, and I just want to hear you give us your opinion on these because I'm dying to hear it. We've talked about some cars here. The cars we've talked about have all been pricey to a lot of the guys who have been listening to the show. I don't think you have to have an expensive car to get women. You can have a 1991 Honda Accord, for example, that you paid $1,500 for, and if that's all you can afford, I think it can show a woman that you're down-to-earth and sensible, but it's got to be in good running order and clean. A woman who is going to be going out with you doesn't want to get into a rat trap of a car that's got roaches because you left the Chinese food wrappers in the front seat or whatever.
That is completely true. My car, I mean, unless we're using my truck for shooting and it's full of camera gear and stuff, I keep almost nothing in my car, at least nothing that's like visible when you get in. You know what I mean? If, whether you have a cheap car, an expensive car, or an old car or a new car, I would agree that keeping it clean is definitely the most important thing. Clean and good running.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're going to have an older cheap car, maybe an older cheap car, you know, with a little bit of style. You know, you can find all kinds of fun stuff on Craigslist for no money. You just have to, you know, be patient and know where to look and, you know, maybe have a little bit of mechanical aptitude, but you don't need too much. But it's just, there's plenty of interesting cars out there, like, you know, old BMWs and stuff that girls would find kind of interesting and fun.
Yeah, just make sure you know what you're getting into in terms of it costing an arm and a leg to get fixed if it goes south on you.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, if you can't afford a decent car, then you should probably find another way to pick up women besides your car.
Like the bus. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of girls that don't care what kind of car you drive, but
my point
if those are the kind of women you want, don't spend $5,000 and think you've got an awesome car for picking up women.
Yeah, well, that's my point
exactly.
You've got
to spend a little bit of money.
Right. Women generally aren't car guys, quote unquote, to begin with. So, I mean, as long as it's clean and in good order, it will say something positive about you. Most women couldn't care less about the car you drive. They're girls. You know, they're interested in what kind of guy you are.
That's true. And most of the time, the ones that do care about what car you drive, they don't care about the actual car or the performance of it or what it's like to drive. if most of the time, if you're driving a nice car, a girl will like you because she thinks it leads to a rich guy.
Yeah, it's a gold digger.
And I have a nice car, so I know that. Like, my nice car has never, ever gotten me laid, ever. My Mini has. Okay, and if you want to really get into it, I had more sex in the minivan my mom gave me in high school than any car since.
Well, I mean, in high school, no one's going to think you're driving this minivan because you're married. But, I mean, if you're like a guy who's 28, 32, rolling a minivan or a station wagon, these women are all going to think you're some married guy cheating on his wife.
That's possible. That's possible. Although wagons are money. Wagons catch a bad rap, but they're money.
Oh, if you have a surfboard in the back, you know, it can work.
You know, for instance, all right. You want to hear a funny story about me? That one of the few times I've used a car to impress a girl.
Let's hear it, man. I'm all ears.
All right. So I have a 1998 Corvette, okay? And I bought it new when I was 18, and I still have it, okay? And it's nice. It's torch red. I wouldn't buy a red Corvette now because I know what it says about me. But when I was 18, a red Corvette was about the coolest thing I could think of. So I bought this thing, and I took it to the bar one night, and I picked up this girl. She was pretty wasted, I would say. So my car's outside, and the top is pulled up, and she's like, oh, my God, is that your car? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. So she gets in it, and, you know, if you've been in a Corvette, it says Corvette on the dash right in front of the passenger. And, like, on the passenger airbag, basically, it says Corvette. Mm-hmm. And she gets in the car and goes, oh, my God, like, I can't believe you drive a Ferrari. And I was like, yeah.
Me either.
The maintenance is a real bitch. Like, and that was the one and only time I got any action from my car. And it was because she was so stupid, she thought it was the wrong car.
Wow. I would have said, yeah, I can't believe it's a Ferrari either, especially since it's a Corvette.
No, I just, if she thinks it's a Ferrari, I want Ferrari-style sex from you.
Dude, I have a similar story. I could just say it in one sentence. I had a lady compliment me on my Porsche one time. It was a 1976 Pontiac Sunbird back in
Oof, my- I'm sorry for you.
Isn't that crazy? Crazy. I know we're running short of time, but I have one last question for you. We talked about the cars. We haven't talked about the driver. Let's talk about driving skills as they pertain to making a woman still like you after she gets out of the car with you. You don't want to go, hey, baby, watch this, and, you know, do donuts in the parking lot. You'll terrify her. What do you want to keep in mind when you have a woman in the car about making her feel safe and comfortable with you, but also making it perfectly known you know how to handle a car and you're masculine?
Now, this is I'm actually sort of impressed you came up with this question because it does make a difference.
Well, I'm immersed in this stuff, you know. I'm all about it, so.
I know. That's good. So I've always found, like, anyone who ever says they're a really good driver isn't, okay? That's the standard procedure. So don't ever brag about your driving ability, ever. I spend, you know, 20, 30 days a year on a racetrack. I drive 100,000 miles a year in 100 different sports cars. I don't ever, ever, ever tell a woman how good a driver I am. Ever. If they want to find out, keep my mouth shut, they can come in the car with me and I'll show them that I'm a good driver. And I will drive fast, but I will drive safely and never make them feel like they're in any kind of danger. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is to never tell anyone what a good driver you are. Because as you could probably imagine, there's a lot of people, men and women, who try to tell me what a good driver they are. They never are. Okay? And any racing driver I know, they could just destroy me on a racetrack, outdrift me, drive better than me in every way. Never, ever hear them talk about what a good driver they are. Anyone who's ever been in the car with them, they know. It's like trying to tell a girl how big your dick is, okay? It's exactly the same thing.
I agree.
You just don't do it, okay? If they want to see your skills, they ask, you show. That's it.
Right. I mean, you know what? Just to kind of piggyback off what you're saying, a guy who can drive a stick and make it feel like she's riding in an automatic is hot to a woman.
Oh, yeah. Smoothness is key. Smoothness, yeah. Perfect rev matching,
yeah.
Perfect heel towing, that is key. So yeah. If you have a stick car and you can't heel tow it, you have no excuse.
Right.
Learn to heel tow. Go on YouTube and watch a video of Ayrton Senna heel towing an Acura NSX. Learn how to heel tow. And if you're driving stick, your girl will not think it's cool if you're not smooth.
Right, exactly. She may forgive you if you're a good guy anyway, but there is nothing hotter to a woman in terms of driving skills than a guy who knows how to drive a stick and make it feel like an automatic. And, you know, the smooth stops at red lights, smooth acceleration, even lane changes, using your blinker. You know, right when you come to a stop, it should feel like, you know, you can't physically feel the car stopping. Just smoothness.
Yeah.
It's like a sport. Yeah. You know, when you do something right in sports, like a golf swing or hit a soccer ball just the right way, or, you know, if you're a motocross guy, when you hit the whoop section just right, there's a smoothness about it. You know, you just know you hit the sweet spot. You should learn how to drive like that, and that's what women will appreciate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, there's nothing wrong. Like, you can drive fast with a girl in the car, but you don't want to, like, road rage it. You don't want to be aggressive. You don't want to tailgate. You don't want to cross double yellows. Like, if you have a girl in the car, you drive fast where appropriate, and you drive slow where appropriate.
Bingo.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
bingo.
The bottom line is, if you're showing off how fast you can drive on the street, whatever. I'm repeating myself.
Man, I'll tell you what, Matt, you rock, and I want to give you a chance to tell these guys, once again, when your show's coming on. Obviously, it's the car show on Speed Channel. Tell us what's coming up, man. What can we look forward to if we tune in?
Let's see. We've got our ultimate Laguna Seca boys road trip, where the four of us spend an entire episode road tripping to Laguna Seca so Adam can compete in a race with no prize money. Brilliant.
love me some Laguna Seca. I mean, I love that corkscrew. It's awesome on a motorcycle.
And, yeah, really fun track. And there's, let's see, I attempt to drive a diesel Mercedes 800 miles from Mexico to Oregon on a single tank of gas, or diesel, excuse me.
Nice.
And let's see, what else do we have coming up? We've got our muscle car comparison test.
That's for you, Leonardo.
We've got the Boss Mustang versus M3 showdown. We've got some good stuff coming up. And then, of course, on the Smoking Tire, which I'm on set for today, that's our web show. We just posted our review of the BMW F800R motorcycle. We've got the Art Morrison 1960 3G Corvette from the video game Gran Turismo, but we have the real car. And we've got the Bentley Mulsanne and the BMW 1M coming up in the next month on the Smoking Tire.
You're living the dream, my good man. And guys, definitely go check out thesmokingtire.com. And I know that's kind of a long URL to remember. So you guys who are probably listening in your car or at the gym right now, just go ahead and go to thechickwhisperer.com/TST for The Smoking Tire. And get you some, man. It's a good site. Once again, Matt Farah from thesmokingtire.com and from The Car Show on Speed Channel. Thanks a million for joining us on The Chick Whisperer Show today, man. It was great.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it, dude.
And until I talk to you guys again on episode number 48 of the world famous Chick Whisperer Show, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.